Hello, everybody, and welcome to the ONE Championship First Strike Preview Show. So we have a six-fight card, all kickboxing matches. We start off with a heavyweight fight between Patrick Schmid and Rade Opacic, and then we go straight into the featherweight kickboxing Grand Prix. So four fights, eight fighters. The level is world-class. I mean, I can't think of a featherweight Grand Prix that I've ever seen like this before. And what's even better is that the main event of the card is Giorgio Petrosian taking on Super Bombancimek for the inaugural featherweight kickboxing title. So the story is featherweight kickboxers in this one. The heavyweight one, just to open the card up, I think they're planning on just testing the structure of the cage for that one, because when we get into these kickboxers, the pace and the intensity that this whole Grand Prix is going to set is quite exciting. I have thoroughly enjoyed researching these guys. So the first fight on the kickboxing Grand Prix, if we look at the tail of the tape, we've got David Kyria taking on Enrico Kell. Kell, the second youngest in the tournament at 29 years old, taking on Kyria at 33. But it is Enrico Kell that's got the majority of the experience in this fight. So 35-18 for Kyria with 16 knockouts, 51-15-2 for Enrico Kell with 30 knockouts. And as you'll see, the knockout percentage for Kell is considerably higher. His output is also higher as well. And I think that, for me, Enrico Kell is the guy that sets the pace of this tournament. He is very aggressive. He constantly is throwing at his opponent. His nickname is the Hurricane for a reason. His attack is a whirlwind of kicks and punches and knees, and he loves wearing people down and breaking them. On the other hand, David Kyria, so he's only had one fight in ONE Championship so far. It was against Petrosian, and he gave a great account of himself over the distance, but lost the unanimous decision. For me, Kyria, although he's a very talented fighter, I feel like he's the underdog in this tournament, and that really shows you how high the level is in this. Because if we have a quick look at Kyria's ONE debut, what you'll see is not only good striking offense and really trying to get to Petrosian as much as he could, but also really good striking defense. You know, the problem with Petrosian is not only keeping him away from you and not allowing him to land the cleaner shots, but also trying to land something of yourself. And I would say that's probably the best shot that he landed right early on in the fight, which let Petrosian know that left hook of Kyria was going to get through his guard. And as always, you know, the doctor fixes those holes in his game. And Kyria was constantly moving forward, trying to land that big left hook, and was not able to. But what we did see, like I said, he's good striking defense. He's a very, very mature fighter in his approach. And I think he's got good weapon selection. The issue against Enrico Kell is going to be the pace that Kell sets, because Kyria likes to play the technical game a bit more than Kell. Kell's going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at him. And we didn't see that from Kyria against Petrosian. What would have been more beneficial for him perhaps would have been a higher pace and a bit more disregard for his own personal safety, which is what we see from Enrico Kell. It's not going to be nearly as much of a technical battle with Enrico Kell, who is far more aggressive, always on the front foot. He's got fast hands. He's got vicious kicks as well. I mean, just watch this. A blocked high kick straight to a left hand. I mean, there are very few fighters that are able to do those kind of things where they're striking on one leg and knocking their opponent down with the secondary shot. And like I said with Kell, something always gets through. His work rate is unreal. And this is why he's got such a high knockout ratio. Not because he's knocking people dead with one shot, but because he's landing a volume that is just making these guys crumble under his pressure. Even here against Liam Nolan, who's a very, very good, very talented Thai boxer, just couldn't keep space from Kell and couldn't deal with the pace that he was setting. Because, you know, often it's like three or four shots are coming at once. Look at that beautiful shot to the solar plexus there from Kell. Goes high, touches him with the lead hand, and then swings that left hook to the body right into the solar plexus. And then pulls this final shot as well. Look, I mean, not only is there intensity and overwhelming pressure, but there's also good control with it, which means that he's in the moment thinking, he's reading his opponent, he's using great feints. Look how he feinted that knee there. Marched forward to throw a knee, and you can see Liam Nolan bring his hands down, and then the other knee comes right into the side of the ribs. You know, really, really fun style. And I don't say this lightly, but Enrico Kell reminds me a lot of Decker's. Just the constant volume that he's throwing. He likes that tight, high triangular guard. He doesn't mind taking shots on his guard or even on his chin sometimes to land his own. And I definitely think that Enrico Kelly's the dark horse in this tournament. You know, he's one of those guys that's going to bring a lot of excitement to the tournament. But I actually think if he gets the right performances against the right fighters, that he's going to cause real problems. There are certain fighters in here that would be a really interesting test for him, but I feel like Enrico Kell is going to be pushing David Kyrie around. It's going to be Kyrie that has to try and control the distance of this fight and slow it down, so he allows that technical ability to shine through. You know, as well as being a kickboxing champion, he's also a karate and savate champion. So although Kyrie doesn't necessarily have all the experience in kickboxing that some of these other guys have got, he's got a more diverse experience because he's been competing in other tournaments and amateur and pro. He's got a wealth of experience to bring in from outside of kickboxing. Enrico Kell is just an overwhelming mess of limbs, and I really think he's going to cause waves in this tournament. I'm looking forward to seeing this one. Next up, we have Chingiz Alazov against Sami Sana. So Alazov and Sana are both the two tallest guys in this tournament. Alazov is the younger of all of them at 28. 56-5 is his record with 34 knockouts. Second highest knockout percentage as well in the whole tournament. But he's only behind the leader by 0.1%. So, I mean, he's right up there. 56 wins and 34 knockouts is very impressive, as well as having an amateur record of 204-3. So for Alazov, loads and loads of experience coming into this one. And also an interesting narrative, given the fact that he's also, you know, he's got 5 losses on his record, and 4 of the losses on his record are to guys that are in this tournament. So there's some exercising demons that can be done here for Alazov. He can get some wins back, and he can, in his mind, erase some of those losses that he's picked up. Now, one of those losses was to Enrico Kell. It was a split decision in his one debut, and it was a really fun fight to watch. We'll come back to the Taylor tape in a second. Let's have a quick look at this, because there was a really, really good striking on display from Alazov. He's clearly a very skilled individual, a very good martial artist. The point of difference in this fight was that Kell was always on his front foot, as we've just talked about. That tight, high, triangular guard, always trying to get in his opponent's face and walk him down. But even so, Alazov was able to land some nice shots on the inside, that lovely lead uppercut that he landed. And, you know, all the way through the fight, he was landing quality shots, but it was the volume and the pace that Kell was setting was what he struggled with. And I think he might be in for something similar here in this fight, because he's fighting Sami Sana, who's the second most experienced fighter, I believe, in the tournament. Yeah, he is. He's got loads of experience as Sami Sana. So let's just quick go back to the tail of the tape. So Sami Sana, 135-14 with 2 draws, 49 knockouts as well. So it's not the highest knockout percentage at 36.2%, but it is a massive difference compared to Alazov, who's plus 60%. So Sami Sana has got to kind of pick his poison in this one. He also likes to set a pace, and that's something we've seen in Sami Sana, even in his fight against Petrosian. Although he was throwing a lot and wasn't successful with a lot of it, he was still active and adamant, moving forward. And he's also the tallest guy in the Grand Prix. He's 6'3". He's got at least a 3-inch height advantage on everybody he faces. And if he gets Alazov out of there and moves on in the Grand Prix, he's going to make everyone look a lot shorter, because they're all under 6 foot. It's only Alazov that's you know, he's 5'11 and a half. So Sami Sana has got a massive advantage with height and reach in this one, as well as a huge amount of experience. Having said that, he doesn't use his range. he likes to stand on the front foot of his opponent as well, which is why it's familiar to Alazov, you know, following the Kell fight. Like, look how aggressive he is here. Clearly reaching height advantage, but he's walking himself into close boxing range and landing heavy, meaningful bullying shots. Like, you know, Askarov's backed up against the fence here, and he can't get space from Sana. Look at that beautiful cross that he throws there. And this is where the reach advantage does come into play. Because at this point here, their feet are incredibly close. Like, they're both in one another's jabbing range. But as Askarov circles away there, he's just out of the way of that left hook. But as Sana jogs his way in, he lines him up perfectly for that cross. And that's where the reach advantage comes into play. It's not necessarily being able to... well, it's not being able to get away from him when you're fleeing. You know, we see this a lot with really good kickboxers with long reach. They seem to be able to hit their opponent from everywhere in the ring. And with the circle, it gives a bit more movement, a bit more space for their opponents to work. Sami Zayn is still able to reach them. I mean, he punches Askarov into that corner post with that straight right and drops him on the spot. And this actually wasn't a knockout finish for Sami Zayn. There are a lot of fights on his record like this, where he's beaten someone almost completely out of the fight, but they still manage to make it the distance. So that 49 knockouts on his record, I think, could be higher if he had a bit more time to work. As I was saying against Petrosian, you know, he wasn't discouraged at all during the fight. He kept pushing forward. He wasn't landing the best shots in the fight, of course, but that's why Petrosian is fighting for the world title. But Sana gave a great account of himself. He lives for Muay Thai. You can see that in his game. Even though he's the tallest guy in the Grand Prix, he's going to be the most aggressive on the front foot, aside from Enrico Kell, I would say. Now, Alazov has to do something different in this fight than he did in the last one. Against Enrico Kell, he looked really good in the first round, but because it's only three rounds, he wasn't able to hold him off long enough, and Enrico Kell kind of marched through him in the second and third. Same thing could happen here with Sana. Like, if Sami Zayn starts strong and starts pushing Alazov back, even if he's losing the round and taking the bigger shots, he'll keep that pace on. It's Alazov that's got to continue landing those good shots, or at least do something that's going to maybe slow Sami Zayn down and push him back a little bit. But again, you know, a really, really interesting fight. And they are the two tallest guys in the Grand Prix as well. So that's something I'm going to be watching, because I do feel like a reach and height advantage is big in this tournament. And both of these guys can progress with that advantage on their side. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So we've got Tafen Ozkan making his one debut. Another very, very exciting fighter in this Grand Prix. Someone that matches the pace of Enrico Kell, perhaps. His nickname is the Turkish Turbine, and you'll see this when you watch his fights. Always front foot, always aggressive, backing his opponents up, wearing them down. He's got a win over Davit Kiria and a win over Andy Sauer. So there's confidence for him coming into this tournament. Like, this is the level that he should be competing at. He's taking on Sitachai Sitsongpinong, who is the statistically the most dominant fighter in this Grand Prix. Basically, because he's got wins over everybody. He's beaten five of the other guys in the Grand Prix. He's also got four wins over Murat Grigorian. So Sitachai has done several careers worth of work, and he's beaten a lot of these guys anyway. Now, he's only 30, but as a Thai boxer, he is kind of coming towards the end of his career. We've seen, you know, he's 1-1 in one championship at the moment. His last one was a really good performance against Tawan Chai. And there were a few things that he used in the Tawan Chai fight that I think he's going to need in this one. Let's just go back to their record. So Ozkan is 84-8 with three draws, 27 knockouts, which is only a 32% knockout ratio. Very similar to Sitachai, who's 31% knockout ratio, but his record's considerably higher. 125 wins, 32 losses and 5 draws, and that includes 39 knockouts. The point of difference here is that Ozkan is the unknown commodity because he's not fought in one championship before. He's also not lost to anybody in this Grand Prix before. And everybody in the Grand Prix has lost to one another in some way. Tafen Ozkan is the unknown commodity coming into this. And I think Ozkan matches Kell in his pace, but maybe not with his power. Sitachai is a very technical fighter. He likes to play technical, but he's going to have to do something to hold Ozkan off in this one. And as I said, in his last fight against Tawan Chai, we saw some really nice work from Sitachai, where he was able to kind of bully the younger opponent. Like, he looked like he was big brother in Tawan Chai a lot of the way through this fight. And again, Tawan Chai is another technical fighter that does give Sitachai space to work. Like, you can see both of these guys kind of hanging back and picking their shots. This is not going to be a range that is afforded to Sitachai in this fight. Ozkan is not going to be respectful of Sitachai and the work that he's done. So Sitachai is going to have to use some of these kind of things where he's catching kicks and he's throwing his opponents to the floor. Anything where he can catch and trip and throw and bully and make it seem more like he's the big brother, like he's the veteran in this Grand Prix, that's going to buy him some time. Because as I said with Ozcan, he's not going to give Sitter Chai space. He's not going to give him respect. So Sitter Chai is going to have to demand that space and that respect by utilizing his better techniques. Now, again, the pace will be set by Ozcan. I don't feel like he's got the knockout power to really hurt Sitter Chai, especially given the fact that Sitter Chai's got so much experience. But he can certainly overwhelm him. And Ozcan, you know, he's only 30 years old. He's one of the younger guys in this tournament, along with Sitter Chai. But with the length and the depth of Sitter Chai's career, Ozcan will look like the younger fighter in there. He'll look like the more sprightly prospect for sure. Okay, the last fight in the Grand Prix. Now, this is a really exciting fight for any kickboxing fan to get stuck into, because you know both of these guys. You know Andy Sauer from years and years, from all of the Grand Prix that he's been in, from all of the amazing fights that he's had. He is the most experienced fighter in the tournament with 183 fights. He's taken on Murat Grigorian, who is one of the most respected kickboxers of all time as well. Now, Grigorian was ranked number one in 2020. It's fair to say that Andy Sauer's best days are behind him. And I think no offense by that, but I think that's the realistic take on this fight. This is about Andy Sauer being the smarter and more experienced fighter and knowing how to play the game against Grigorian. Sometimes Sauer likes to fight a bit too much and that leaves him vulnerable. And Gregorian's got heavy hands. He's also got really accurate shots as well, which makes a big difference in this fight, because he's going to be working various targets which Andy Sauer will not be able to cover. He won't be able to cover everything. And Sauer's going to be primarily focused on covering his head when Gregorian's got great work to the body. 161, 21 and 1 for Andy Sauer with 98 knockouts. Also very impressive, because not only does he have the most knockouts in the whole Grand Prix, but he's also got the highest knockout percentage, followed closely by Alazov, as I said. And Murat Grigorian's over 50% knockout ratio as well, but a lot less experience for Grigorian. 64 and 11 is his record with 33 knockouts. The height is a wash on these one as well. They're exactly the same height as well. Orthodox v orthodox, but Grigorian is 30. He is the younger fighter by 8 years. And for me, in my mind, Grigorian is the favorite to win the Grand Prix, for a few reasons. But first of all, I think a big win over Andy Sauer here gets him way ahead in the tournament in his own mind, because that's a big name to have on your record. That's a big win to add to your career. After that, then he's fighting guys that he's familiar with. I mean, Grigorian's beaten Alazov already. He's beaten Super Bon, who's in the main event. And he's also got a win over Sitter Chai, even though he's got losses to Sitter Chai. Andy Sauer, as you would imagine, has fought Petrosian as well. He picked up a loss to Petrosian. He's also lost to Sitter Chai and Ozcan. So there's a lot of ground to be made up for Andy Sauer. And I very much feel like he's going to be realizing that he's up against it, because there's some killers in this tournament. Okay. Now, Andy Sauer was on a 3-fight losing streak until he picked up his last win. But his last win was signature Andy Sauer. Technical, aggressive kickboxing, a variety of different targets aimed for, utilizing his footwork as well to expose his opponent, like cutting them off and forcing them to walk onto his power shots. And just really fast hands as well. Good timing countering his opponent's shots, which I feel like Andy Sauer needs to take some risks in this fight, because if he allows Grigorian to start working the body early, then he's going to find himself trying to push water uphill. This is the kind of pace that I like from Andy Sauer, where it's, look at that, just out of range, tap, tap, bang. Like he's not throwing everything into every one of these shots, and then a lovely inside low kick just to upset his opponent's balance and be able to exit safely. And this is what I'm talking about, using his footwork to control his opponent, like moving them onto the power shots. Look how he moved him onto that head kick. Then he crosses his center line. Look at that. So we've gone power head kick from the right leg. Then he crosses over the center line, forces him across the center line with the overhand right, and then he's into left side attack. And then let me just play this through slow. So there's the first one. So we've got left hook, lovely left hook there. Then he's going to work the body, bang. Then he's going to go inside low, bang. And then he sets him up for the high kick again. You can see him just pushing his opponent towards the power shots. And there's the high kick. You know, ambidextrous in his threat as well as his technique. You know, this is where the experience for Andy Sauer comes into play, and why I feel like he needs to not only get out the gate fast and make an example of Murat Grigoryan, because Grigoryan will be the favorite in the other fighters' eyes as well. They're all going to respect this as the co-main event of the card for a reason. If Andy Sauer is able to win this first fight, he gets a big boost, not only in his self-confidence, but also in the way that everybody else has seen this tournament. The young fighters coming through are terrifying. Ozkan and Enrico Keller, really the two to watch. Alazov as well, of course, because he's not picked up many losses in his record, and those losses are predominantly all stacked up in this tournament. So there's revenge to be had for Alazov. For Andy Sauer, he's definitely feeling like the end of his career is approaching, and going out on a big Grand Prix win like this, maybe even line himself up for a title shot. That'd be the way to close out a spectacular career, but it's going to be very difficult to do starting off with Murat Grigoryan. So Grigoryan, only one fight in one championship so far. A great performance though, and really showed his ability, especially with his hands, especially with his body shots. Now we don't see the body shot here against Kondratiev. There it is. It's an awkward angle because we're kind of behind Grigoryan, but as you'll see here, close range, he goes for the uppercut, touches him with a jab as he sees that wild swing come back, and then he digs that shot in there. This is the shot. We're watching this punch here going into these ribs. Bang. And you can tell that it landed, because watch Kondratiev's arms afterwards. Pulls his elbows close into his side. And it's the same target that he aims for a bit later in the fight again. Backs him up to the fence. He digs it one time there. Lovely work from Grigoryan on the inside. And this is really this, you know, his signature style. Heavy hands in close, a variety of different technical attacks, but lovely left hook to the body. There it is one more time. And look at the posture change of Kondratiev as well. Look, as he's circling, catches him right in the ribs there. Lovely shot. And just crumbles him. Just, there's nothing you can do about a shot like that. It's one of the worst feelings in all of combat sports, believe me. You get caught with a shot like that, and it feels like your body's giving up on you. Like you, all the air's knocked out of you, and you try and get back to your feet. Your brain still wants to fight. You're still determined that you can, but your body's just not cooperating. And this is where Grigoryan, I feel like, is a real threat to Andy Sauer, because they're the kind of shots that stay with you. You know, you get hit with a good body shot in the first round, and you are now susceptible to body shots for the rest of the fight. Being the most experienced fighter has its pros and cons. Of course, Andy Sauer's had loads of fights against loads of different opponents, different body types and styles and stuff. So that wealth of experience is going to be massive for him. But in the process of getting that experience, much like Sitachai, in the process of getting that experience, you also accumulate damage and wear and tear. And this is where Grigoryan coming in with, you know, what, 75 fights on his record compared to Sauer, who's 183. There's a lot less wear and tear there. And Murat Grigoryan can put good work in early, water in the basement, as Teddy Atlas would say, work his body and then start softening him up for the later rounds. Certainly doesn't want to take any risks, because you can't count Andy Sauer out, not only with the most experience, but with the highest knockout ratio as well. But a hell of a co-main event and a great way of finishing off the kickboxing Grand Prix. So let's just quick rattle through that again. So we've got David Kirya opening up the Grand Prix against Enrico Kell. Then we have Chingiz Alazov taking on Sami Sarna. Then we move on to the debutant Tafan Ozkan taking on the veteran Sitachai Sitsong Pinong. And then the closer of the featherweight kickboxing Grand Prix, the veteran, most experienced fighter on the card, Andy Sauer, taking on Murat Grigoryan. And that sets us up for the main event. And what a main event it's going to be. So let's have a quick look at the tail of the tape. So you've got Superbomb Banchimek on one side. You've got Giorgio Petrosian on the other. Now, 31 and 35, so they're both in their 30s. They're both getting to that stage where they've really got a good grasp, a good handle on their skills, on their game, and on what their goal is when they're in there. Grigoryan, 109 wins with only two losses and two draws. There's a reason they call him the doctor, and that's because he's so technically proficient that he tends to make everybody else look levels below him. That's what we saw in the fight against David Kyria, and that's what I would expect to see against Superbon Banchimek. Now, Banchimek on the other side, 111 wins, 34 losses, 26 knockouts. Now, neither of these guys are bringing in a massive knockout ratio. Banchimek, as you can see, is below 25%. Gregorian is heading towards 40. But Gregorian's not chasing knockouts. He's not fighting like he's determined to stop guys. Like, you look down the rest of this card and you would think Enrico Kell and Tafen Ozkan wouldn't be happy with a win unless their opponent was unconscious. It's just the way they fight. There's a risk-taking element to that. There's a, you know, that's when we start to say things like, oh, he's got a good chin or he's really tough. We don't have to say those things about Petrosian because he doesn't let people test his chin. You know, I mean, you know, you saw him take that cuffing shot against David Kyria, that left hook. It was the last one he landed. You only get one good one. And this is where Superbon has really got to use volume as his weapon in this one, because Petrosian will play the technical game all the way through. If Superbon starts playing the technical game with Petrosian, he's always going to be on the back foot. He's always going to be on the losing end of those exchanges. But what we saw against Sitachai, when Banchimek stepped in against Sitachai Sitsong Pinong, it was his aggression that was able to overwhelm the veteran fighter. You know, both of these guys, very technical, of course, but it was the pace that Superbon set that won in that fight, because Sitachai wasn't able to keep up with him. It's almost like every time an exchange starts, Superbon has to have the last word. Like, you'll see what I mean here. Like, every time there's an exchange, like, Superbon is determined to make sure he has the last good shot. And Sitachai tried to keep up with him, but as the fight went on, you could see Superbon starting to get to Sitachai a bit more. And the shots that he was landing were more meaningful as well, you know, jamming that deep into the midsection. And sometimes even allowing Sitachai to start his attack and then throwing over the top. Just kind of a disregard for what's coming back at him. Now, I'm not saying he can take all kinds of risks in this one, but I would say that he needs to outland and outthrow Gregorian as much as possible. And any time that there's an exchange, if he can have the last word, then that's going to get him head on the judges' scorecards. It's more of a perspective thing. If you see the last big shot in the combination be landed by Superbon, you're going to keep scoring that to him. Gregorian might land the cleaner shots, but he might not land as many. And for me, this is where Superbon has to make a difference. And the other thing with Gregorian as well is it's so difficult to beat him over three rounds. He's so technically sound, technically proficient, that you almost have to use pressure and fatigue as a way of breaking down that wall. And we don't really see people do that against Petrosian, because they try and they start and then they get discouraged. Like, this is what I was saying about the Sami Sana fight. Like, if you watch the way that Sana approaches this, at no point is he discouraged, but you can see him start to pull some power out of his shots or react to shots that aren't coming. Like, he blocks a low kick there that doesn't happen. Like, at no point was Sami Sana discouraged in his output, in his forward movement, but you can see him. He goes to check a kick that wasn't there. See, Petrosian's constantly playing this game where he's programming his opponent to expect something, and then when you start expecting that thing, he doesn't deliver. And then next time you go to check it, he doesn't throw it. It's a very frustrating game to play, because he's so technically sound, he's so watertight in his defense, that you really don't feel like you can get into it in any way. And if you throw a shot and it completely misses, the next time you throw that shot, you might take 5 or 10% off it, because it might not land. It probably won't land. And if it doesn't land, then you're going to go whistling past your target, and then your target's going to counter you. That's what Petrosian does so well. So that gradual discouragement is something that Superbon's going to be fighting against all the way through this battle. Like, Sana was reaching for him. And you know, as we've said, Sana's the tallest guy in the Grand Prix. Wasn't able to get to him. I mean, just look at that beautiful exchange there. So we've just had Sami Sana crashing in with that high kick. I mean, they are at boxing range right now. So you would think if you throw this kick, it's going to land on something. Nope, completely out of the way. And then Petrosian's back in a stance, ready to receive, and watch this. Little jab on the chin. Ping. Just allows him to get off to the side, touches him, rolls under the hook, and then he's out of danger. So Sana's swung a shot, he's been hit and he didn't land anything. Now he starts to pressure forward. Same thing again. Misses that shot. Bang. Right hook right on the temple. And, you know, the thing is, these shots might have just touched the whiskers of Petrosian, but nothing's landing clean and consistent, and nothing's landing with anything that's going to really do any damage, whereas that stops him in his tracks. That puts him on his back foot because he's walking onto it. Another miss, just out of the way. Skills, technical proficiency, that is really what Giorgio Petrosian is about. It's why he's considered to be one of the greatest kickboxers of all time. And I do think that there are people in this tournament that can challenge him. So if we imagine that Petrosian wins the belt here, there are a lot of guys coming through this Grand Prix that would be problematic for him based on pace alone. But it's up to Superbon to show that straight away. Superbon might be the champion by the end of this card, but it will be because he's put a pace on Gregorian, which allowed some of his shots to get through. Because if you go technique for technique with Gregorian, you're gonna be losing that battle every day. He's just so very, very measured in everything that he does. And look at this. This is a great way to finish the show. I mean, what an amazing left hand this was. And I'll talk you through what happens here, because there are a few different games being played. So this is Smoking Joe Natterwood. And what you'll see is Natterwood steps in and postures as if he's going to throw his right hand, but then sees Petrosian dipping out of the way and posturing to counter with the left hook. And there's just minor movements going on here. Look at this. I'm watching this hand of Natterwood, and I'm watching this hand of Petrosian. So you'll see, as Natterwood leans in to throw the right hand, he sees Gregorian posture his right hook as a counter. Leans, postures the hook, and he pulls out. Then instead of throwing that shot and it being wasted, as we talk about with Gregorian being very measured, he postures the left hook, and then he leans it out with a long jab. Now, again, not intending to touch his opponent too much. I mean, there might be a bit of physical contact there, but what he actually wants is this reaction here. Look at what Natterwood does with his left hand. He pulls it down. And it's not like Gregorian's given any resistance to this. As soon as he sees that glove pulling the hand down, he moves it and fires the straight left down the pipe. So what you've got to think about is Natterwood stepped forward. He's posturing as if he's going to throw that right hand. And Petrosian leans back and shows him the right hook counter. So he stops. And then he goes, let me just put this in that center channel. let me just keep that center channel open and blind you at the same time. Because what can Joe Natterwood see here? He can see the depth and width of Petrosian's glove. It's not like he can see anything else past that glove. It's right in his eyes, which is one of the reasons why he pulls it out of the way. But as soon as he's pulling it out of the way, the left hand's behind it, follows it beautifully right down the pipe, bang. So there's not even an opportunity for Natterwood to react to get himself out of the way. You'll see it here again. Bang. Blinded by the glove, pulls the hand out of the way, but you can see there that center channel's wide open for Petrosian. It's like a placeholder for his left hand. Bang, down the pipe. Clean shot. Watch one more. Pulls it down and then straight down the pipe. Like they're the kind of games that it's really, really difficult to get ahead of, because it's almost like he's operating on a different level to a lot of these guys. He plays those little games so well, you know, feinting and posturing. He'll show you a counter to discourage you, and then he'll just put that out there just to keep that space for his straight left if you decide to step back in. And the more people swing and miss, the more frustrated they get, which makes it easier for him to start walking people onto those counters. There's no doubt Petrosian is a sensational martial artist. And oftentimes we discredit his opponents because of how easy it makes it look. Superbon is going to have to push Petrosian in this fight if he's going to want to get near that world title. If we look down this featherweight Grand Prix, though, there are some guys in this tournament that are younger than Petrosian, that are on their way up, that are going to cut their teeth in this tournament and really show people what they're capable of. And in a few years' time, we're going to see some of these 29, 28-year-olds fighting for this world title that Petrosian or Superbon are fighting for in the main event. This is a really, really good card. If you're a striking fan, if you're a martial artist, a martial arts fan, you've got to watch this. You've got to get stuck into this. Learn about some of these fighters. Learn about their careers and who they've faced and what wins and losses they've got against other people in the tournament, because there's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of strings in this one that attaches various different fighters to one another. Wins and losses, revenge to be had, payback to be gotten, you know, decisions to be, you know, to be reinforced with stoppages, etc., etc. It's going to be a great card. Make sure you check it out. One Championship, First Strike. Catch you next time.